Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
It's The Amazing Show, featuring the amazing James Randi. For more information on all things Randi, including the Million Dollar Challenge, head to randi.org. Hello and welcome to The Amazing Show, recording from the Isaac Asimov Library, as always, at the James Randi Educational Foundation. I am here with the man who makes the show, the amazing James Randi.
How you doing? Hello, 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 everyone.
All right, well, we have a letter here from a listener, I guess an email, from a listener to the podcast. It is Matthew Huber, and he writes, "Hello, I'm curious to hear about Randy's memories of the show James Randi Psychic Investigator. Some of the videos are available on the internet, although I haven't been able to locate a physical copy, and they are easily the best reality TV I've ever seen. Thanks and keep up the good work." So for those too young to have seen the show or furiously trying to find it on YouTube, what was James Randi Psychic Investigator?
The program I did for Granada Television out of the Manchester studios in the UK. That was some years ago. I'm trying to think of the year, but I'm so bad at recollecting years. It's a long time ago, but if anyone looks up on Google, who knows everything, as we know.
Indeed.
Granada TV, UK, James Randi, and I'm sure they'll come up with a date for it. It was it six or eight shows, I've forgotten. In the UK, in fact, in Europe in general, they do a series of shows of varying lengths. I'm about to sign a contract with Channel 4 in the UK, as a matter of fact. I'm going over there in a couple of weeks to talk to them about a contract to do a series, another series, on the Million Dollar Challenge. However, the Granada series was very interesting. A couple of things, but it was a beautiful set. My goodness, it was all painted dead black and the inside and velvet all over the place and phony crystals and such. And I guess it was attractive, but I was sort of spooked out by it. I thought it was sort of detracting from the content of the program. But that's their choice and it's their taste. So I wasn't too put out about it. But I did that for, I think that was Open Media, the name of the company. Mm-hmm. Very nice people, treated me very handsomely, I must say. And it was a case of discussing everything from dowsing to precognition and forecasting the stock market, things like that.
Yeah.
Things of popular interest that were connected with the so-called psychic field. And we tested some Jonathan Cain, I think it was the name of one of the astrologers there, who didn't come off too well on the program. He did some, as I seem to recall, I've done so many of these programs, and this was some years ago, but I believe that Jonathan Cain tried to predict the stock market. We had a stock market analyst there, a professional, who did this without supernatural aid, remarkably enough. And then I had some sort of a randomizing process by throwing a dart into a piece of paper with some numbers on it. And I did slightly better than Jonathan, and the financial advisor did better than both of us.
Both of you.
Yeah, but Jonathan didn't do all that well, and I think he blamed it on the stars or something like that. I don't know what it was.
They're very crafty.
Yeah, but the program was good, except for one point. They did something very unwise.
This is Granada.
Granada, yes. Yeah. When they produced this show, you see, there are services in the UK, as there are here in this country, in fact, I'm sure all over the world, where you advertise in little throwaway shopper magazines for a TV audience.
Uh-huh.
And they had an ad out saying, if you're interested in psychic powers and such, and in whether or not James Randi can handle the situation, come to our studios, apply at this number, etc. So people would get tickets set aside for them free of charge because they wanted to fill the studio with an interesting audience.
Yeah, warm bodies.
But the problem is that that's a very prejudiced warm body, you see. It's people who believe that this is the real thing, not people who are going to be supportive of me at all. And they've done this several times with me in different countries. They don't listen to my advice on the thing, which is to just throw it open to a general audience. because you will get a better representation of the public that way. On the other hand, they may want a prejudiced audience that's going to give me a hard time. So
you're saying, don't advertise in Crystal Readers Monthly.
Yeah, that kind of thing, yes, or Woo Woo Magazine or something like that. But
quarterly.
I don't think that Granada would have wanted to give me a problem that way, but that's what they did to get an audience. They maybe thought they'd have a hard time getting an audience. It was in Manchester, after all, which is not London, where you can get an audience for anything in London. for a strangling or anything, you can get an audience very easily. But Manchester perhaps was a little harder to get an audience to, but they did. And by and large, the audience was pretty well dead set against my having any success on the show at all.
So they were cheering for those who were testing to have extraordinary powers.
The problem with it, Justin, was that they weren't reacting. They didn't react freely and openly. And honestly, they more or less sat with their arms folded, you know, looking very resistant to any suggestions that I was about to make.
I would say it's something that where you can see this happen contemporarily. A regular amazing meeting speaker, Christopher Hitchens, is fairly often on Bill Maher's show, where he has, I think, a similar dynamic with the audience.
Yeah, very much.
So this had an element of reality television to it, or what we've come to know as reality television, since it was unprepared and you were relying on the human dynamic. Did you guys know going in that that was going to be the hook, seeing these people succeed or fail?
Well, it was sort of a contest. These people were, wait a minute, were we offering? Yes, I think we were offering the $10,000 prize at that time.
Okay.
It's not $1 million, not anywhere near it, but that was the $10,000 prize that we were offering. Now, I didn't have any fear of losing it. It's not that much money anyway, though it would have smarted, let's put it that way.
Indeed.
It would have gotten my attention, if nothing else. But it was not a confrontational thing necessarily. I wanted to discuss these subjects with the people. They weren't all believers who appeared on the program. There were some people that were in between. They didn't know one way or the other, but they had some ideas and they wanted to talk about the existence of ghosts or whatever, and we would discuss it. It was fun to do. It was interesting, and I think I accomplished my purpose. But the telling fact about the whole thing is they never repeated it. They never did it again. They never went on with it in any other venue. And that would seem to indicate that they felt that it was not successful, or the reviews. I think the reviews were satisfactory, as far as I remember, but maybe not satisfactory enough that they would want to do it again.
Or Granada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were there any specific highlights of the show?
Oh, yes, there's one. Okay. One episode that stands out in my mind was the dowsing episode. Now, you have to have a dowsing or a divining one, and all of these things, of course. And, of course, this one came up. And they had a gentleman there who said that he could douse maps. Now, this is an absolutely bizarre idea, of course, that people can douse maps. But they, by waving his wand over a big representation of the terrain, he was able to find ruins and treasure and water and whatever. And the guy was hugely successful on the first trial, because he had to find on a city map, we had removed everything but the major streets and the major monuments, the churches and whatnot, the cathedral, a few things like that. And he zeroed right in on where the thing was that we were supposed to be looking for.
Ah.
But it wasn't too difficult to solve how, because what they had done, contrary to my instructions, my specific instructions.
Yeah.
They had left the whole display. It was a big, big graphic display. Left it out in the hall with the position marked by an indicator. And, of course, he passed right by that when he came in and he saw where the marker was on it. And he came into the studio. I didn't know that it was out in the hallway.
Yeah.
They couldn't store it at a more convenient spot. They didn't have a place for it. It was very large. And it was left out in the hallway. So it was... no great mystery to me when I found out afterwards. One of the prop men came over and he said, oh, we had that out in the hall. And the answer was clearly displayed on it.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah, so that sure took the edge off that. So there were a few things like that. What's it called? A screw-up. Yeah, that's what it's called, technically, in the trade, yes.
Yeah, the old television screw-up.
Yes, indeed.
At this point, had just timeline-wise, had the Geller stuff on Carson already happened? Where were in the grand history of Randy organizing these kind of events on television for people trying to prove their psychic abilities?
Well, the Geller thing had happened. That happened very early in Geller's career, right at the very top of Geller's career, the Time magazine fiasco and the one with Carson,
mm-hmm.
Where he totally failed. And, of course, all the excuses, you've heard them. That's legend.
Well documented.
Matter of fact, yes. I had gotten a certain reputation because I'd been in the UK many times by then, and I had appeared on programs that challenged these matters. I don't use the term debunk. I guess you noticed that.
Yes.
Yes, I don't allow myself to be called a debunker, and the reason is very simple. It seems to me that if you're going into something to debunk it, you're announcing in advance that this is not so, and you're going to prove that it's not so.
Yeah.
I can't afford that.
No.
I can't afford that attitude. I've got to say, and I do, quite honestly, I don't know. Let's find out. Show me, and let's find out. We'll investigate it. Now, I don't believe in the Tooth Fairy. Well, not completely in the Tooth Fairy. Santa Claus is rather off the scale as well. But there are some other things that you have to say, I don't know, maybe, and I'm willing to be shown. Now, at this point, I'm $1 million worth of willing to be shown. Mm-hmm. And that declares itself rather prominently, I would say, and people should notice that.
All right, going forward, you mentioned off the top that you're speaking with another British network currently about maybe doing something about the $1 million challenge. Would there be any of these kind of elements in that show, or is this a different...
I'm going to try to get a different, a somewhat different approach to it, just a different angle. I don't want to talk too much about that because we still have to negotiate the terms and whatnot. But I want it to be, the Granada program was quite serious. It was quite direct. We had some humor in it, of course, for just to lighten it up a bit. But I want this to be a lot more formal. You see, the thing in Europe and even in England and certainly in the Far East is they get a lot of soap opera stars on there to sit around as a panel. Now, these are pretty vacuous people in most cases. You know, there's not much going on behind
there. You can't tell me the cast of Hotel Babylon doesn't have some serious critiques on our human...
Well, most of what happens behind their eyebrows is digestive problems, I think. But it's... It's sort of the style to do it. They got to be people, the producers think, people that are recognized. You know, no matter how vacuous they are, they've got to be recognizable so that people can identify with them and know what's going on, perhaps in their somewhat empty heads. I am not going to encourage that at all. I'm going to actively discourage it. I don't think that should be done. I think that I'm going to have some authorities on, certainly authorities from both sides of the situation, mm-hmm. The believers and the skeptics as well. But they've all got to have some sort of scientific credentials, even though I have none. But I have to depend on these people to give an academic point of view on it, and mm-hmm. I certainly will.
That's why you have friends with scientific credentials, right?
You got it.
Questions, comments, topic suggestions? Email us at randy@itricks.com.